call the meeting to order of Sussex County Council for December 6, 2011. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Hey, look who it is.
Thank you and good morning. Pleasure to be up here. Yes, approval of agenda. We have two changes. Under David Baker, County Administrator, we'd like to strike airport runway extension update. And under executive session, we can remove job applicants' qualifications.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Motion, I'll make it.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, yes. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. In our packets, we had the minutes of November 29th. Any questions, comments?
No.
Hearing none, they'll stand approved. In the correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Mr. President, there is none.
Todd Lawson, County Administrator appointee. You're up.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Pleasure. And an honor. Our first item today is Board of Adjustment Member Recognition. Today, we'd like to recognize Mr. Ronald G. McCabe for his service to Sussex County. I believe Mr. McCabe is with us this morning. Would he come forward, please?
Jacket on, got a little important.
That's right.
Mr. McCabe is scheduled to retire from the Board of Adjustment at the end of this year as the longest serving member in the board's history. And this council would like to take this opportunity to thank him. We have a proclamation and a plaque. I'd like to read that proclamation, Mr. McCabe. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize fellow public servants for their outstanding accomplishments and contributions to the county government. And whereas Ronald G. McCabe, as the member of the county's Board of Adjustments, has dutifully and faithfully served the county's government since his appointment to the board by then Councilman Charlie Cole commenced on July 1, 1984. And whereas Ronald G. McCabe will step down from the five-member board on December 31, 2011, after more than 27 years of service, including 10 years as chairman from 1987 to 1997, and again in 1999. And whereas Ronald G. McCabe has heard thousands of cases in his decades seated on the quasi-judicial panel, which considers applicants' requests for variances and special use exceptions to the county code. And whereas Ronald G. McCabe has the distinction of being the longest-serving member of the Board of Adjustments with 27 years and 6 months of service, he is also the second longest-serving member of any appointed county body, eclipsed only by Planning and Zoning Commission member John L. Allen with 35 years and 11 months. Whereas Ronald McCabe's decades of service represent the amplitude of faithful public service, therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends Ronald G. McCabe for his public service to the people of Sussex County, the state of Delaware, and proclaims Tuesday, December 6, 2011, as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor his accomplishments. Thank you, Mr. McCabe.
I'm not going to read it again, Ron, but that is the proclamation he just read. But this is awfully nice here. This is something for you to hang on your wall.
Oh, thank you.
And it's a tribute. It's just a thank from county government for all your years of service. And I will say this, down there in Ocean View and Millville, we like to keep people down there for a long time.
You too.
So anyway, Ron got in when my father was there, and they were very good friends. Worked at DuPont's, and so Ron was back and forth across his county, so he had a great understanding of the issues in Laurel or Seaford, or as well as the coastal area of where we live. And I just thank you again. And
yes, sir.
And we got a guy to try to take his place here for a couple of years before we give him the boot, but we're not going to let him last 27 years. <I'll say. laughs> Thank you very much. And Chip wants to get a picture, the official picture. Let me
put this down.
We will hold that plaque up there. There we go. We want this posted on the internet.
It's going up in a couple of
days. Yeah, you know we'll be. Chip be twitting that for you down here. We'll be twitting and tweeting everything else. Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, Ron.
All right, thank you.
Good luck.
What a pleasure.
I see Chip got new batteries for his camera this week. Yes.
Second on our agenda is the Fort Miles project update. Dr. Gary Ray, president of the Fort Miles Historical Association, is here today to give the council an update on the Fort Miles renovation, as well as their efforts to transport one of the 16-inch cannons from the USS Missouri from Norfolk to Sussex County.
That's a cannon right there. They call you back a little bit.
It's not mine.
I'm sorry about that.
We'll put it on mute right now. I'd like to thank the council, first of all, for your continuing support of the Fort Miles Historical Association project. You've been very supportive of us in the past. Tomorrow is a very proud day for us and for Delaware. Of course, it's Delaware Day, as everybody knows, and Pearl Harbor Day. But it's also the day that the Delaware Department of Tourism is going to kick off the 50 most historic sites in the state. And I'm happy to report that after 10 years of hard work, we've turned a dark, dank, wet, 420-foot leaky bunker into one of the 50 most historic spots in Delaware. So we're going to be honored tomorrow along with the other 49. So I think it's going to be a proud moment for Sussex County. And that story's told in the little handout I've given you here, which is our biannual report of the Fort Miles Historical Association. There's some photographs in there. You can see what we've done with the bunker and how we're turning it into the best World War II museum inside a World War II facility in the country. So we've been working on that project now for 10 years. But our new project is one that we talked about to Mr. Vincent and Ms. Deaver the other day, and that's securing a barrel from the battleship Missouri and bringing it up from Norfolk through Sussex County up Delmarva all the way to Cape and Lopin State Park. And that story is told in the two handouts I've given you. One, the case statement, which is the U.S. Missouri BB-63, this handout here, which has got everything you probably need to know about it, including how we're going to bring the barrel up from Norfolk. And then a little bit more in the smaller one that tells a little history of the battleship Missouri. The bottom line is, for those who are not familiar with Fort Miles was one of the largest forts in the country during World War II, and we had two 16-inch guns out there. So it's always been in our strategic plan to get a 16-inch gun in Fort Miles. So we were going to get any 16-inch gun. But we found out that three barrels from the battleship Missouri are on the ground at Norfolk. And Norfolk, of course, is only a couple hundred miles from us. So back in May, I came before the council and talked about our project. We wrote a plan, submitted it to the Navy, surplus department. We wrote the plan along with the state. The Navy accepted our plan, and they have essentially donated a barrel to the state of Delaware. Now, it's our problem to get the barrel here. And so we started raising the money. We worked, and that phone call, by the way, was the construction manager from Lockwood Brothers out of Hampton, Virginia. They're our heavy movers. They're the ones that are going to be moving the barrel up. And so we started working and devising a plan and raising the money to fund the plan. And we just started the last time I came before the council. Right now we have, I'm happy to report, we need $110,000. We have raised through private donations and several large donations, $65,000. So we're well along the way of getting there. We've gotten donations that have ranged from $9 from two little boys. One gave $4. His brother gave $5 in cash. Their mother gave $100 to one anonymous donor in Lewis who's given $10,000. General Motors Foundation has contributed $25,000. So we're well on the way. We've got two more months to raise the remaining money. We think we'll do it, but we're still out there asking folks for contributions. The barrel is going to be exciting. It's going to come right up Delmarva. It's going to come up through Cape Charles, across Chesapeake Bay on the rail barge. It's going to be picked up by Norfolk Southern on this side. It's going to be brought up through Virginia, Accomack, through Pocomoke, all the way up through Georgetown, up to Milford. And then at Milford, it's going to be picked up by the Delaware Coastline with their engine number 187 and brought into Cape and Lupin State Park. Then we're going to pick it up and take it inside the park, work on it for a couple years, get all the pieces together. And once we'll be done, we'll have the best static display of a 16-inch 50 caliber Mark VII barrel in the country. And it'll be a really fitting spot for it in Cape and Lupin State Park. It'll be a fine tribute to our gun park. The plan is to bring it up in April. The Navy gave us permission to do it in March, but March is not a very good time to do it, so we're asking them for an extension. I don't think there will be a problem getting that from them. Bring it up in April, and then on April 28th, we'll have the big unveiling the last Saturday in April in the park. So that's our plan.
Any questions from council?
Will they ever be able to fire that gun?
No.
You're not going to work on it.
I hope not. No. Part of the, if we do, we've got it aimed towards New Jersey. So if we do. But
if we ever invade New Jersey, we can start right there.
That's exactly right. If we get an invasion of New Jersey, we'll be ready. Mm-hmm. No, actually, Mr. Cole, to answer your question, what part of our plan, you have to assure the Navy that you're demilitarized the weapon, so it cannot be fired. So.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed that too, very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Blank straight, Sam.
There were people there in uniform from way back.
Yeah.
From World War II uniforms, and it's a remarkable place. And I recommend people take tours of the Fort Miles.
Thank you. Yeah, the tours. It's the only sand dune in the country that you can go inside, and it's really spectacular once you walk underneath the Great Dune and you're in there and you see this huge corridor that's 420 feet long. So it's. Mm-hmm. But it's been a lot of work. It's been a love feast for the last 20 years getting that place ready. So,
well, there's no doubt after we saw that day, I think that we all that were there agreed that a lot of people spent a lot of free time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of hours donated to put that thing where it is today, and you're still working on it.
That's exactly right. It's a work in progress.
It's quite quite impressive to go in there and see all the work you people have done. And certainly this gun is going to be a big tourist attraction, as will 4 miles.
No question.
To have a gun off the battleship with the Japanese surrendered World War II is quite a distinct thing, I think. And that's the actual gun, not a replacement.
That's exactly right. It's the actual barrel that the Japanese had to walk past to surrender. Yeah.
That's I think, quite a feat. You could be complimented for that very much.
Thank you.
Anything else from council?
You already got a gun mount there. Where are you going to put it?
Well, actually, we have a gun park out there. We don't have a 16-inch gun.
You're going to replace that one?
No. Well, the deal is we're going to get the barrel. This is the barrel coming up. The barrel weighs 136 tons. Once we get the barrel inside the park, then we're going to go back down. We get all our weapons from the Dahlgren Naval Weapons Center in Dahlgren, Virginia. We're going to go back down to Dahlgren and get all the other pieces that we need, the carriage, the breech block, the slider, and put the whole package together. It's going to take us about 3 years to do it. Once we do it, we'll have it as a static display right there inside our gun park at Fort Miles.
And Mr. Wilson served at Fort Miles. Did you not, sir?
Is that right?
Not in World War II.
I understood it was for quarantining.
Ten years later.
In the mid-50s, I think he was stationed there.
Quarantined there.
Quarantined. Thank you very much.
That's why you weren't allowed in, George.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Council.
Thank
Mr. Lawson, do you have a motion?
I have a motion, depending on the council's direction, if you choose to support the Fort Miles Association. We have funding in the reserves for contingencies for such amount that you agree upon. We have a motion for that. If you want to discuss, we could put that forward.
Was there a number put forth? I didn't.
There's no motion been put forward before that one. What's the feeling of council as far as?
If it's historic preservation, I'm in favor.
I think it's going to draw tourists here. Mm-hmm. It's going to put money in the economy that way. But it's going to be a great thing, I think. So,
read it.
There's a line for the amount to be determined.
Oh, the amount to be determined.
What was line for a number?
Yes.
He asked for $10,000. It was ten.
Do we need to make a decision?
They're like 10. 50 short or something.
But he asked for 10, I believe.
I'll make a motion. We give $10,000 to the effort. So if you want to fill that line in with $10,000 and then read it, we'll make it. We'll see if we can vote on that. Okay?
That's the rest of council. Mr. Wilson, have you?
I heard another number. But
did you want to hear make a higher number, Tim?
We can always give more later if it.
Okay.
Thinks, right. We can always. This isn't the end of the world.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't
fill in that number with $10,000 and read the motion.
Okay.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council authorizes a grant in the amount of $10,000 from the Reserves for Contingencies account to the Fort Miles Historical Association for the USS Missouri Cannon Campaign.
I'll make that motion.
Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Any question on the motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Also, motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have discussion and possible introduction of a draft ordinance regarding electronic and message board signs. Mr. Lank is here to continue our discussion from last week.
Besides, those books are going to be here a while.
Never know. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
As Mr. Lawson stated, we did discuss an ordinance last week. And that was an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 21, Section 159.5B of the Code of Sussex County regarding to electronic message displays on off-premise signs. During that discussion, there was some questions raised and suggested that we prepare another ordinance, which we have for discussion this morning. It's titled an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 21, Section 159.5.B of the Code of Sussex County to prohibit electronic message displays on off-premise signs. So the purpose of this morning's discussion would be for introduction of an ordinance that would reference that off-premise signs, after obtaining a special use exception pursuant to Section 115-80C and 115-83.6C, not exceeding 600 square feet total, and provided that, number five, an off-premise sign shall not include an electronic message display. So the first ordinance we introduced last week was for the purpose of giving consideration to allowing for electronic message boards on billboards, off-premise signs. The purpose of the second ordinance is to propose an ordinance that would restrict against, because the ordinance isn't clear. One interpretation is that if it's not listed, it's permitted. One interpretation is that if it's not listed, it's not permitted. So we need to address it. So the purpose is that we would hold both hearings at the same time.
And this will clear up
before the commission and both ordinances before council.
Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. I'll be glad to introduce this one.
Okay. Mr. Cole introduces the ordinance. Thank you, sir.
I don't believe that it had it been read. Did you read the ordinance first, Mr. Lang?
I read the title.
You did? Okay,
yes,
thank
I did.
You.
Okay. Is that good enough? Thank you.
You don't think we'd miss that?
Wanted to be sure.
I'm glad you're checking. Mr. Lawson?
Yes. Administrator's report. Caroling on the Circle. The Sussex County Council would like to thank the community for participating in the 28th annual Caroling on the Circle last night. We had a very successful night with over 600 carolers, and we're able to collect to this point 24,500 canned goods and non-perishable food items for our neighbors. We'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing to collect items until the end of the year, and will continue to distribute these goods to all of our local food pantries. We want to thank our volunteers, local businesses, and schools for helping to collect the food over the last month and for making this year's Caroling on the Circle a huge success. Second item is the Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee. Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee will meet on Wednesday, December 7th at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center, Georgetown, Delaware, at 6 p.m. This is a meeting open to the public, and all are welcome to attend. A copy of the agenda is attached. Final item is the Mildred King Luncheon. Sussex County offices will close for a two-hour period on Friday, December 9th, to allow employees to attend the annual Mildred King Luncheon. County offices will close from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on that date. Members of the public with business to conduct are asked to plan accordingly. Offices will reopen promptly at 1 p.m. Thanks, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Todd, I got one correction here. In light that Mr. Baker's still sitting out there, we better change the bottom where it's signed and it says county administrator. Can we add the word appointee?
Sure.
Just for another week or two?
Absolutely.
Just for Dave's sake.
Anything for Dave.
Dave is very sensitive.
Okay.
He's a very sensitive person. We don't want to.
Very sensitive.
Yeah.
And we're sensitive.
That's right.
Does Dave
sensitive? We don't want to leave for the 31st, so we make him mad.
Actually, Sam's overly sensitive sometimes.
Next, Mrs. Webb, Finance Director, Pension Fund Review and Recommendation.
Thank you. I have three items under me today on the agenda, and we're kind of going to talk about them all in the same time, and then I'd like to do the motions at the end because I have four motions as well.
Okay.
So we'll be discussing the annual review of the county's pension plan and the Sussex County Investment Fund. Mr. Michael Schoen from Pierce Park Group is here. He's our pension investment consultant. We'll be speaking. And in your packet, you received the minutes of the latest pension meeting on November 14th, 2011, and also an investment performance report, which we'll review today. Mr. Schoen will review. And we'll give a report on our two pension plans. And then Dave and I will speak about the county investment fund, and then I'll go over the motions on our annual contribution and some things we'd like to do. Welcome, Mr. Schoen.
Thank you. I asked Susie how much time she would like me to spend. She said, give him the three B's, be bold, be brief, and be gone.
There you go.
So,
good advice, huh?
What I'd like to do is cover a couple things. One is give you a quick 1 or 2 minute sort of the global picture overview, okay, of the whole pension system. Two is then talk about what are some of the options that you have on that. Three is how did you do? And then four would be any recommendations that we have, okay? You received this report?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The global picture, and I think this helps set the scene for the overall structure and some of the ideas you need to think about, not only where you've been and where you are, but where you're going with the pension, is that employees, individuals come to work for the county, and they receive compensation for their services. And that compensation is current compensation, which is salary, health insurance, life insurance, vacation, etc., and deferred compensation. That's your pension and your retiree health benefits. And that's what we're going to talk about now today is those funds to fund those obligations. You have an actuary. That's not us. I said earlier, we're the money people, hopefully. But your actuaries, they each year calculate your liabilities, okay? And that's, think of it as the size of the bucket. Each individual needs to have their bucket full so that the assets are there to pay the benefits when they retire. So they calculate the liability. They also calculate how much you have in that bucket, meaning your assets, okay? And they also then calculate how much you need to put into the bucket each year so that the difference between how big the bucket is and how much is in the bucket is full when they retire. Now, when they do that, they realize what's in the bucket is either from contributions or from investment earnings. And so they have to estimate what the investment earnings are going to be. And they use, for your plans, 8% return assumption, because we're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay? This past decade, 8%... nobody got. In fact, this past decade, the stock market was the worst return in recorded history, even worse than the 1930s. So as well as you did, and I'm going to show you in a minute, that in the past year, you ranked in the top 8% of all the funds, all the public funds in the universe. We're part of a national organization. You're in the top 8%. But even as good as that is, you know, it's less than what the actuary assumed. So you did extremely well. But if you get less than that 8%, that means more money has to go in to make up for the difference because, the water in the bucket isn't rising as fast as the actuary had assumed. On top of that, interest rates are extremely low. And so when the actuary assumes an 8% return, they're figuring about 10% on stocks, about 5% on bonds. you're 60-40 like you are, 65-35, and you combine that together, it gets you about, probably gets you about more like 7.5%, maybe 7.5% to 8%. But if bonds are only yielding 2%, 2.5%, 3%, how do you get to 8% over the next decade? Some of your options, and maybe it's putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit, but is one is you have to hope for higher returns on your stocks. Because if bonds are only yielding, you know, 2.5%, 3%, that's what they're going to give you. Okay? So your stocks, either your stocks have to get a higher return than that 10% assumption, and that's a hope. You know, that's really shouldn't bank on that happening. Or increase your allocation to stocks, okay? But if you increase your allocation to stocks, you take on more risk that in the downturns you get hit harder. You can see I have no great solutions for you. I'm just laying out the problems, yeah? Or you can assume you're going to have to increase your contributions. You may not have to, but if stocks do 10 and bonds do 3 and you're at 60-40, that doesn't get you to 8, okay? Or you and or you change your assumptions, and that's what some plans are doing now, is going back and saying maybe 8% isn't a good assumption, maybe 7.5 or 7.25 or 7 is a better long-term assumption. But note, if you change your assumption, that will mean you have to put more money in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's just, but it also lowers your risk of not meeting that assumption. So how did you do? Okay, if you turn to the report here, and I'll go to right under the first tab, and I'll give you a little perspective on what happened throughout the whole world. And the first page, you just really see the third quarter. I know this is an annual report, but I wanted to talk about the third quarter, talk about what's happened since then, and then what the whole year. In the upper right-hand corner, you see a chart. It shows U.S. Treasury yields, and that's the interest rate paid on U.S. Treasuries. On the right-hand side are long-term bonds, 30-year Treasuries. The left-hand side are short-term, like 1 month, 3 year, 1 year. The blue is the yield on Treasuries at the end of June. The red is the yield on Treasuries as of the end of September. Treasuries, yields on Treasury interest rates, came down dramatically. That helped you because you have a conservatively structured bond portfolio that Wilmington Trust is managing for you. That happened. That helped you, gave you positive returns. The negative is that yields are low, so now what can you expect in the future? So you already sort of got the positive of that interest rate drop. If interest rates go back up, what happens is bond values go down. Okay. The second thing to look at on that page is the chart on the bottom. Two things to take off of that. You see the gray background. The gray is what's known as the VIX. And the VIX is a measure of the volatility of the stock market. Okay? And you can see as the quarter progressed, that number got higher and higher. It meant there was more and more volatility in the market. What happens when there's more volatility? Investors move from riskier investments, meaning stocks, into more conservative investment, meaning bonds. Okay? What happens when they do that? Your bonds do better, but the stocks do worse. And you can see from the blue, red, and green line that the stocks went down quite precipitously in the third quarter. Now, fortunately, in October, a lot of that got gained back. Not all of it, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but a lot of it got gained back. And the blue, which is the U.S. stocks, actually did better than international stocks. Because if you ask most people what was the better performer, most people think, oh, not the U.S., it has to be international. It has to be the emerging markets, you know, China, India, Brazil, et cetera. No, actually, over the last quarter, when times get tough, U.S. is still the place that people move their money to because it's considered the bastion of most safety. Okay. Now, if you go to the next page, and on the upper right-hand side, you'll see two charts. I'll focus on the one on the right-hand side because that's the one-year returns. And the very light blue just above the line, 0.6, that's what U.S. stocks did for the 1 year from October 1st through the end of September. It was positive, but very slightly positive. Bonds did much better. They're up 5.3%. And the international stocks, the green, was down 9.4%. And emerging markets, again, the area that most people think was the best performer, actually was the worst performer, down 16.2%. Now, this is not your plan. This is just the broad markets. And then I'll lead into, you know, your plan and some of the things that actually helped you do as well as you did. Okay. The other thing to take off of this, and I won't work you through each little component, is that larger company stocks did better than smaller company stocks. That's the opposite of what we saw in 2009, 2010. Coming out of a recession, it's usually the smaller companies. They can be more nimble. They might have been the ones more beaten down during their downturn, down the which now everybody's calling the Great Recession. They were the ones most beaten down. They're the ones that bounced back the most. But now, with the concern about a double dip recession, or at least extreme slowing up of the economy, the bigger companies are the ones that actually did better this past year. Okay, your portfolio is structured that you have a good combination of all those. Not trying to guess which is going to be best, but between what the state does for you and the other investments you have, you're broadly diversified across all those areas. Okay. Going on, if you flip over to the next tab, and under performance summary, and there's a lot more detail in there, but I suspect you don't want to hear me drone on about that. Here's the really good news. I mean, really great news, I should say. Your fund, this is the pension fund now we're speaking of, was in the top quartile, I mean the top 25% for the quarter, year to date, so that would be January 1st to September 30th, 1 year, 2 year, and 3 year. And this is of a universe of funds all over the country. As I mentioned earlier, we belong to a group, it's a cooperative of roughly 45 firms. We pull over data, represents about $700 billion of assets. There's about 150 government funds, where the counties or cities, municipalities, and you are in the top 25% over any of those time periods. Okay. Now, not in every single year were you, but cumulatively over that whole time period. And this year, especially good. For the 1 year, you were in the top 8%. Okay. You've also experienced lower volatility than the average plan. Now, that's part of what helped you, because being more conservative as you are than the average plan, it helped you. Okay. What are the factors that helped in performance? Okay. You were a little bit underweight stocks. Your target is 60-40. You started a little bit less than that. So since stocks underperform bonds, that helped you. The state, roughly 65% of your fund, but we'll say two-thirds of your fund, is in the state plan. The state plan did extremely well this year. Okay. And the rest of the pieces that you've built around them, but for one, all did very well. Let's talk about structure. As I mentioned a moment ago, you have money with the state, and you might have money outside of the state. The state is, if I may use Susie's term, is sort of your wild child, meaning they invest more aggressively than you would want your overall plan to be. Okay, but it's a well-diversified plan. It's billions of dollars. It's well overseen by a lot of people. But it's designed because the state, quite frankly, can take more risk than you can take more volatility than a county can or a city can. You know, they invest more into areas that you wouldn't necessarily invest. They invest in hedge funds. They invest in private equity. They're about 75% in stocks. Most of their bonds are not in government bonds. Okay, whereas the rest of what you have is in government bonds. It's in more conservative stocks. So you have a good combination that helps you both in the down and the up markets. Okay. And the only piece that lagged a little bit was Wilmington Trust. It wasn't a bad performance on their case, but we set a benchmark. So the bond manager has a certain hurdle they have to beat, and the stock manager has a different one, and then your other stock manager has another one, the state has another one, because the benchmark that they're set against is the one that's most appropriate for what they're doing. Okay. Now, observation specifically on the state pool. Strong returns, highly diversified, and although I put a lot of buts under there, it's just to make you aware that there are other pieces in their overall thing that they do at the state level that want you not to have all your money with them, but have a good, it's a good, strong piece to build around, okay? And some of the buts is that it's significantly different policy than yours, as I said, more aggressive. 25% of the funds are in hedge funds and private equity. Only 25% is in fixed income. Very little in government bonds. And there is a higher cost to be in their plan.
That's the state plan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The state plan is a higher cost than the other pieces that you invest outside of them. But to date, since we've been evaluating, they have added more than enough value to cover that additional cost. Okay. There's observations on each of the individual managers. You've had this ahead of time, so unless you have specific questions, just know that DuPont Capital, which is a subsidiary of DuPont, they manage about $30 billion of assets, and then they do manage for some outside funds like yourself. As you might expect out of DuPont, very quantitative approach, very, you know, trying to reduce risk type approach. Fidelity, which you've had for quite a while before we were around, they're buying the smaller company stocks. Whereas DuPont's buying the bigger company stocks, Fidelity's buying the smaller company stocks. Tends to do better when the market goes down, not as well when the market goes up. That's okay. There's no manager, no fund that does great in the up markets and great in the down markets. Love to see that, but and then Vanguard is a global fund. It means they have several different managers manage it. It's low cost, and they buy both U.S. and non-U.S. stocks. And you have that piece in there so to complement your overall structure. And lastly, Wilmington Trust is buying high-quality bonds. I can tell you that you have the most conservative approach to managing bonds of any of my clients. Nothing wrong with that. It's just an observation, okay? Okay. Now, you flip over to the next page. Let me flip over a couple pages, then I'll come back to the absolute return. So if you go on to page 15, and since this is really a one-year report, I'll start at 1 year, and then I'll go quarter, then year-to-date, and 2 years. For the 1 year, your plan is up 4.7%. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, that's less than the 8%. But the average fund was only up 0.7 for the year. So you dramatically exceeded the average fund. That is on page 15. And ranked you in the top 8% of all the public fund universe. Okay. For the quarter, you were down 6.6. Now, you like not to be down 6.6, but the U.S. stock market was down 15 last quarter. The international markets were down 20%. So to be down 6.6, put it bluntly, when it rains, everybody gets wet. But you got a lot less wet than just about everybody else. In fact, you were in the top 19%. And the year-to-date, in the top 11%. So very strong returns. How did that happen? How did you do so well against a peer group of funds that some of them are $10 million and some are in the billions of dollars? It's two things. One is your conservative approach helped you. So what you did outside of the state helped you and will help you when, usually, hopefully, will help you when the markets go down. Okay. The state, who we would normally expect to do really well in the up markets, but not as well in the down markets, had a very good year, relatively speaking, in the down market. So the combination of part of what you might expect and part of what you might not expect is what helped you do so extremely well. Yeah. Well, relative to everybody else who was getting wet. So I do want to stress that. Okay. And that's really, unless there's other questions about the pension fund, I will get to recommendations, but about observations, does anybody have any questions about the observations?
Any questions from council?
No, I mean, if I look at this, what we're doing, if this current economic climate continues for a while, what we have isn't sustainable, we could be
behind.
I mean, we're not meeting anywhere those early assumptions that were made and everything else. So our, if we can't keep going like we're going, can we?
No, I'd say you're going better than almost all plans out there, but no, you can't.
Mm-hmm. We're going over the cliff, but we're just not going as fast.
That's yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah. So it's, and that's why I mentioned that it's not just your assets, it's your liabilities.
Right.
Okay. You know, the reason why you put money aside is to pay for obligations. So you have to make sure that you monitor the rate of growth of those liabilities. You know, those are tied to payroll.
Well, so. the key is, I would think that we need a plan that doesn't just zap all our resources. You look at the post office, the problem with the post office, they make money, but it's their pensions and their health care and all that stuff, which is killing them. So either we got to, like I said, develop something new for new employees. We can't keep up what we're doing, right? I mean, it's handwriting's on the wall.
Yeah, right? Right. You have to look at, because you could be doing really well here, and if that bucket keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger,
right,
you can't pour enough water in there to fill it.
Right. And I don't think it's fair to the people of Sussex County taxpayers that we keep taking an exorbitant amount of resources, which we could be using for infrastructure and all these other things, and we're sinking it into this pension fund,
yeah,
and health care and stuff because we're so, you know, we have a Cadillac of a plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I haven't looked at plan design, so I won't opine on whether.
Well, I'm just saying, typically governments have these, you know, very good plans.
Yeah, and that's a long-term strategic look at things that you need to look and say, you know, what
expect the economy to turn around too.
Pardon me?
We expect this economy to turn around. I mean, we hope it somewhere down the road.
Yeah, right, and we hope it does, but question is, even if the economy turns around, because bond yields are so low, let's say the stock market does get back to what it normally does 10% a year. If bonds are only doing 3, you still don't get to that 8%.
Yeah.
You know? And so one of the things you may want to look at is have your actuary do some calculations and say, what if we assume 7.5 instead?
Well, there's always going to be ups and downs in the market, Sam. We've got to look for something that'll keep us even, Steven.
Right.
But and if those, it's down, we need to come up with some money.
Well, right. I mean, obviously, you can keep pouring more money in the thing, I mean, from somewhere. But I think George has got a good point that it's something we need to maybe discuss.
And we did. I mean, we had
start discussing in January or next year. I mean, is the future for new employees with this county, if you change some things up as far as pensions and if they pay something towards it or those kind of things, it's all going to affect those numbers, obviously.
But if I'm not mistaken, and Susie, correct me if I'm wrong, we were lucky because we poured money into our pensions to catch us up because we were so far behind.
Right.
And it was we got blessed with that, all those transfer taxes were coming. We were able to take all that, you know, a lot of that money and get us where
that's
we should
correct.
Be. Mm-hmm. Right? So
there were additional contributions.
But again, all that money, you know, we could have done, there's many things we could have been doing here in county government, but we had to shift that money that way. So what we want to do is be able to relieve some of that for the future of the county government. So,
and what you're running into is not, I mean, everybody's running into this issue.
Oh, yeah, I know.
In fact, you're running into it less than others because you've had so much foresight in, you know, keeping your plan well-funded. Because when it's underfunded, you not only pay for what the employees earn that year, but also make up for all the shortfall from the earlier years.
And there's no law that requires you to keep it funded by a certain percent.
No,
right?
No, but the rating agencies take it.
They look at you.
But there is a disclosure on the financial statements that add to your the financial picture, and because of the situation of the pension plan, we actually have, instead of an unfunded, you know, a net asset. So, as Mr. Schoen was saying, we're better off than most of everyone that's in the same situation. Yeah. So it does affect our annual financial statements, as there's 6 pages of pension disclosures, because it is a big liability for governments.
Yes,
sure.
And doesn't it grow exponentially, that liability? It looks, just seems
depends
like
depends on how it's funded
because of what's going on in the country, people living longer and
that's
a good point.
And the number of people you keep putting on it.
Mm-hmm. The actuary goes through and makes assumptions, mm-hmm. and a lot of those assumptions, besides the annual rate of return, is mortality and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. The growth in your as you hire people, all that is related into your contribution and your funding status.
But we're going to be okay for Dave's pension when it goes off.
I don't know.
Let's take care of that.
We're pension.
Dave is sweating down there like
he is sweating, isn't he?
And George's, I'm sure, is okay, isn't it?
George.
Todd, you came on just the right time.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are the solutions are? Your turn.
I think back to what you were saying. Look out, you know, longer term as you are, and say, okay, what might the pension look like 5, 10, 20 years from now? You know, it might turn out, you say, okay, maybe we can continue to afford what we're doing, or maybe we need to change things for new employees. You need the actuary as part of that equation so that they can help you look at different scenarios.
Sure.
You know, same time, you know, you want to give adequate, you know, retirement benefits for the employees. That's part of the compensation packets. So you've got, you know, I'll say these, you know, I like to say there's 3 big goals. One is fully funding the benefit. 2 is minimizing the contribution, and 3 is minimizing the year-to-year fluctuation in the contribution. Because it's one thing to try to lower the contribution, but if you get this going on instead of this, it raises havoc on the budget.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
And the solutions to each of those, many times, are different solutions. Okay. Now, as for recommendations, if you go to page 18, pretty much stay the course. Now, I'm talking about the investment side of it, but you've talked now some about maybe taking a longer-term look
sure.
at the liability picture. I mentioned the state pool has done very well, and the rest of the fund has complemented it well. You know, you might want to consider because you just get annual reviews right now, so you only get rebalancing going on annually, that you might want to consider looking at a little bit more often than that, both at the overall plan level and each individual manager. The 2011 ARC, and this is what you did last year, you're going to make an ARC as an annual required contribution. The question is, what do you do with that money? Last year, what you did is you put it on into short-term fixed income, mainly CDs and treasuries.
CDs.
So that when the benefits needed to be paid, you had money sitting aside to pay for that. And the value of doing that is, let's say you took that 2.7 million dollars. Let's say you invested either into the state or one of the stock managers. Okay. Now, 3 months later, you need the money. Well, the stock market might have gone down in that time period, so you don't have the money that you'd hoped to have to pay for it. And you got to get that money from somewhere else, and you're selling at the bottom of the market. So just like when running a business or a government, you set aside for your liquidity needs.
Yeah.
And so you set, and right this moment in time, your contributions are about equal to your benefits, so you can just set it aside and pay it out like you did last year. Consider structured bond portfolio. That's something that I've worked with Wilmington Trust on, is right now they're managing all their portfolio around about a four-year maturity. But the reality is you have benefit payments coming years 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years out. So instead of having it all bulleted around there, is the actuary can provide them information, say, here's what we expect in future payments, and then they can buy bonds that match up to that. So you know you have money coming due when you need it. I like it, liken it to like if you send a kid to school or whatever. If you know that you're going to have payments over, say, 4 years, you don't buy a four-year CD and you don't buy a one-year CD. You buy a one-year, two-year, three-year, four-year CD, and that would have the money come due when you need it. And the only other thing that, and I'm just sort of putting this out on the table, is Vanguard Global, when you hired them 3 years ago, and I should back up, they've actually done a good job for you, but they tend to be a little bit more aggressive than the average global manager, so they do a little bit better in the up markets, a little bit worse in the down markets. But the purpose of what you have them there, because of what the state does, is really you'd want it sort of the other way around. So good fund, but is it the right fund for you? 3 years ago, there weren't a whole lot of global choices. Now there's a lot more global choices out there. I don't think there's any great urgency to do something there, but just put it on the table that at some point in time, maybe that needs to be looked at and say, is there a better replacement, a better fit there? Okay. Any questions about the pension?
So you're being very nice about the Vanguard, but we do think we should take a hard look at it.
Yeah. What I want to say is, I think it's like, I like my sports, so it's like you have a really good, wide receiver, but maybe you need as a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So maybe that's what you need better, So. Okay. Under OPEB. And I should update you. I don't have absolute numbers because we didn't get money from the state. I mean, numbers from the state yet. But in October, your Fidelity Low Price Fund was up 9.7 and Vanguard Global was up 8.1. Actually, that's for the quarter to date. So if we calculate the numbers, I would have to say that from the end of September through the end of November, you're probably up about another 5.5 or 6%. It was a very strong October.
Mm-hmm.
November, the first 3 weeks were down precipitously, but then the last week, the market rallied back and caught back almost all that it lost early in November. So that's why I mentioned before that you've caught back most, but not all of what happened in the third quarter. Under your OPEB fund, last year you moved the money, it was with the state, and you went outside because you just didn't want too much in all one space, plus you had some administrative issues there. And early this year, some decisions were made as to where to invest it. It got implemented on March 25th, I believe, was the date. Sometime late in the first quarter. You had a slight underperformance relative to the policy index. I'll talk about that in a second. The funds that did well for you was the Ridgeworth Small Cap Value Fund. It tends to do well in a down market. Okay. Detractors was that you're overweight to small cap stocks. You have a bit of a value tilt to your portfolio and value underperformed growth. Allianz, which is your large company core manager, core meaning buying growth and value stocks, underperformed for the quarter. And Dodge & Cox, which is a more aggressive fund, didn't do well. Okay, they don't do well in down markets. Now, I'll tell you, in October, November, they did very well. Mm-hmm. And so since you don't have the state giving the, I'll say, the more aggressive piece, and they have the counterbalance of the, you know, more conservative, in this pool, you have a combination. Some that will do better in up markets, and some that will do better in down markets. Your underperformance relative to your policy index wasn't great, but you were limited, which you have addressed through, I think, some resolutions in the last couple weeks, that you were limited to picking from those who responded to the RFP.
Yes.
Okay? And so I'll say we crafted as best we could based upon who responded. But because of the process, which I'll say generally is a good process, but because of the limitation of who, it was sort of like, okay, we got to try to match up as best we could. So if you go to absolute returns, since inception was, I think it's 7 months worth of numbers, and this is on page 40, your fund is down 4.2. Okay, since inception is since you made the change over. So if I remember correctly, I think it's March through the end of September. There was a policy index of down 3.4. Keep in mind, this is a period when the stock market was down strongly. But you were down a little bit more than the policy index. But so who did well for you? I mentioned earlier Ridgeworth did well. Some of the others didn't do as well. I think this is a fund that needs some restructuring. You made some decent first steps, but because of the limitations of what you could pick from, you know, that hindered getting it, I'd say, the way we would like to see it. As I say, you passed a resolution, 2 weeks ago, that allows you to go out and now, I think, better construct it. So,
and that was the purpose.
Yeah.
Seeing that we were limited was to get the, as we were making some changes to the pension committee, one of the ones was to not limit our decisions on our investments and for this one reason, mm-hmm. doing that RFP.
Okay. If you go to recommendations, and that was really the big recommendation, but when I put this together originally, it says decide on how you wish to invest your fixed income and implement it. And I think, Susie, that has now been done or can be done now because of the resolution where you can implement the fixed income piece the way you want to mirror what you're doing on the pension side. Lower the allocation to small cap stocks that helped you the first half of the year, hurt you in the third quarter. Rebalance back to targets. I think that's a very key point. Since your target is 60% equities, when it gets below 55, although it seems counterintuitive and the market's going down, that's when you want to start buying back to it. In essence, buy low, sell high. And when your stocks get above 65% of your portfolio, that's when you want to start trimming it back. You know, because they've had their run up, it's when you want to bring it back to your targets. Some broader diversification, some change in the manager lineup, and maybe a little bit more often look at things, not just on an annual basis, because now you have, you know, about $65 million between all these assets.
So, how much?
I think it's between the pension and the OPEB, it's 65.
19 and 47.
Pardon me?
68
million. So that's, you know, a 1% difference on 60, you know, let's just round to 70 million. That's $700,000. That's, you know, big significance there. So. Any questions?
No.
The council?
No.
Thank you very much for all that.
We're not experts in this innovation, obviously.
I just have a couple quick comments before some motions that I'll talk about. We will be heading back together in January with the new pension committee and the new people that will sit on it, and we will look at the OPEB fund for rebalancing and take those suggestions. One of the motions today that the pension committee did recommend, since we're not limited by an RFP process, is to go ahead and put the fixed asset portion of the OPEB fund into the Wilmington Trust, structured like it is in our pension fund, which, you know, we have a model that works over there, so we don't really have to reinvent the wheel at this point for the fixed assets. Mr. Cole, we are taking your considerations of changing up. It will be, we'll get together in January. It's a perfect time. Our actuary year end is calendar year, So we're getting ready to do that with assumptions, and we're getting ready to move into the budget. So the
Are you taking into consideration looking at a new plan for new employees?
This would be the perfect time as we head into the budget.
And who helps us with it? Do we have another consultant?
Well, we have actuaries at our disposal. We have resources. We'll get resources. We'll, you know. Okay. Besides talking about it with administration and kind of getting our thoughts together, then we'll get
our
resources.
I'm sure there's only a few simple or few ways to address it, like, you know, contributions, et cetera. I mean, there's not many other ways. It just
Like you said, new employees, different plan. Mm-hmm. That's right. A big one there. And we'll address the new board members in January. So I do have motions to put the annual budgeted contribution into our pension trust fund cash account, which is a short-term investment staggered CD, so that I can pull from it to pay our benefits, like Mr. Soane suggested. And I do have a motion to move the fixed asset portion of the OPEB fund into Wilmington Trust. However, I think we want to cover, if you want to do all the motions at once, we'll cover the Sussex County Investment Fund, if you'd like to.
Sure, please.
Which you received a letter from Mr. Baker and I, and Mr. Baker's going to have to come up to the podium.
Now, which one is
this? Is the Sussex County Investment Fund.
What?
This is what we did in the budget.
$10 million. Okay.
The $10 million that we took from taking from appropriated reserves, the really transfer tax funds, with the goal to earn 5% a year to help with grants to give to the fire companies. So what we're looking at doing is we've weighed a lot of options. As we just heard the pension report, there's not a lot of good options for maximum returns and low level of risk. So we thought we've come up with a good one, which was described in a memo, where we're going to sort of invest in ourselves. We're going to refund one of the debt payments, debt that is in our own sewer district, SCRUF. And it was one of the ones that was considered for the larger bond refunding that we're working on. So we're going to pull a piece out of that and refund it. And that way we're the payer, so we know the risk level is zero. The return would be good, so I think David wants to speak to
Mr. Baker
on his memo.
Yes, thank you. Yes, as Mrs. Webb noted, our recommendation is that for the council to consider would be as part of this bond, well, separate, but while we look at bond refinancing, that we loan our sewer districts this money for it, basically take out an existing loan and replace it with a loan from the county investment fund, and then the interest on that, again, part 1%, the first 1% would go to the county. Anything over and above that 1%, up to 5%, would go to the fire service. The current loan from the State of Delaware Revolving Fund Loan Program that we are considering is for the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility Sewer Districts. We're currently paying 3.175% interest per year on the loan, and the bond, the loan will be, or the bond was paid or will be paid off December 13, 2026. So there's about 15 years left on the loan. With this option, the county would pay off the loan from the investment fund and then replace it with a loan directly to the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility at current market rates. So the sewer districts would get a benefit because we're basically refinancing that loan at a lower rate, which, as per the current market, and we're estimating the interest rates would vary from the early maturities from approximately 0.3% to 3.26% over the so the average net interest cost would be about 2.6%. Some of the advantages are the proposal. It assists the county sewer districts with lower interest costs, so there'd be a savings for sewer districts, and the county would have a very secure investment. We feel that you know, versus a court investing in a corporate, even AAA bonds or even agency bonds, because you know, with all the turmoil that we've seen in the last few years in the market, there's concerns about the federal government even backing up agency bonds in a few years, and corporate bonds. We've seen a number of corporations with problems that were not anticipated a few years ago. So by going out 15 years, we feel that the county would be secure because our sewer districts, the county sewer districts, would be repaying this at market rates. And another advantage of it is the interest return would most likely, we anticipate, will increase over time, because as this would be structured sort of like a mortgage, so you pay principal and interest as you go. And as money is repaid from the sewer districts, it goes back in the fund, and then it could be invested in some other CDs or whatever, and earn higher interest as interest rates go up. Because, you know, I think Mr. Schoen would agree, over 15 years, we would anticipate interest rates to go up from their very low levels currently. So that's what we're recommending. We're recommending the loan and refinancing for the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility Sewer District as the preferred option. We believe it's a safe investment with virtually no concerns regarding return of principal and risk, and the advantage that the principal is repaid by the sewer district to an investment account and interest rates generally increase, we anticipate, and then the return basically to the fire service would increase over time.
Mm-hmm. And it's a fixed rate, though, for the 15 years?
Yes, it mm-hmm. would be set okay. based on, you know, attached, I think we have some schedules and other information.
It's advertised like a mortgage, right?
Basically,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Gotcha. The interest rate on one of the, there's a one schedule here, which is at the bottom, it says page 3, public advisory consultants, and you can see it has coupon rates, and it shows like 0.30% for very short term to 3.26% at the end. So
we need a resolution for that.
Is it not true that the users herself are not paying for this for these bonds, or are they not paying enough in the sewer bonds?
Well, basically we issued the bonds a number of years ago.
2002,
and it was for construction improvements of the South Coastal yeah. Regional Wastewater Facility, the treatment plant, and the bonds were through the State Revolving Fund Loan Program at 3.175%. Now, we were going to refinance these bonds as part of the bond refinancing.
Right.
But instead of doing that, we could loan the money, avoid a lot of attorney cost and financial advisor cost and whatnot.
That's good.
Just do this ourselves, mm-hmm. but give the sewer districts the market rate. Our financial advisors have told us, you know, here's the market rate. You know, so the sewer district saves, and then the county has what we feel is a safe, mm-hmm. practically risk-free investment, because we know where the money's coming from. And even though we're rated AA, we feel like we're going to get the money back.
And what comes in for the fire service is over and above what we would.
1%.
What's yeah. what we have already budgeted, so it's an extra grant
correct.
To the fire service. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, one question, Mr. Becker?
No.
Mrs. Webb, you have some motions?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the budgeted 2012 pension contribution into the Sussex County Pension Trust cash account in the amount of $2,702,074 to be used for monthly reimbursements back to the general fund and any available balance in the account to be invested in CDs.
Entertain a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Second. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, I just want to say there are minutes here from the pension committee, and where I had looked at whether we should do that, set it aside or not, was just to see if that was the most inexpensive way to do things. But I realize fully that the fire service, we're very lucky to have the volunteers we have, and we need to fund them as much as we possibly can.
No, I got to. I just a thought came in my mind on the last financial issues, but that's all right. Go on.
Any more questions?
Nope.
Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. We have moved that the Sussex County Council approve the budgeted 2012 pension contribution into the Sussex County Council OPEB fund cash account in the amount of $1,694,914 to be used for monthly reimbursements back to the general fund and any available balance in that account to be invested in CDs.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mrs. Webb?
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve that the fixed income portion of the investments in the OPEB fund be invested with M&T, as is with the pension fund, structure the same at this point.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the last one, be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve that the Sussex County Investment Fund invest $10 million and refinance a loan for the Scruff Sewer District SRF Debt Series 2002.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second.
Yes.
Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Mrs. Webb.
To get through.
Thank you, Mrs.
One last question before we leave. When we invest all this, are we still investing it all at one time? Do we just go into the market like with one big step? Where do we?
You mean the bond funding?
Are we spread it out like, you know, the theory dollar cost averaging, or do we just go to the markets like January, like everybody else, and throw the money in and see what happens?
Well, in this case, you're not going to invest in it long term.
Okay.
For the pension, the OPEB, you're going to put it into short term CDs. Okay. So you're not going to the stock market.
Right.
And then on this other piece, you're buying out those bonds.
Right.
So we agree with your concept of dollar cost averaging. In this case, it's not applicable.
I was thinking in general terms on all the stuff that we do.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much, sir, for your effort. Thank you, Mrs. Webb, for all your hard work in the committee.
Yes, thank you.